I want to go on and actually hear about Tim's case, but first just take a breath and respond to some of the questions that are coming in from the audience, which I think are very interesting. So I'm just going to quickly go through them. Ghassan, you can take a couple of them. Patients with portal vein thrombosis, what do you do first line?
So portal vein thrombosis is now learning more about it as far as how much of a thrombosis it is, and there is like four grades per se. And if you recall, in the lenvatinib study, they excluded patients with complete portal vein thrombosis. If you want to really go by the book, you might probably elect not to use lenvatinib in that setting, but rather use sorafenib. But again, that portal vein thrombosis has to be dissected further to make sure how much is how much.
So Tim, a couple of questions about patients with bony disease. I don't know whether that's a subset that sort of is indicative of response to TKIs. Does that change your selection of therapy?
It usually doesn't, no. I don't think so.
So here's another one, Tim, is interesting. Quote, I am sometimes asked by transplant surgeons to offer treatment as a, quote, bridge to transplant. These patients have often had Y90 or TACE and are now waiting for transplant. Tim, any situations where you use systemic therapy as a bridge to transplant?
I think actually, you know, as you mentioned, these patients are already receiving local regional therapy, which is, I think, the best what we can do for the patients on the transplant setting. That's the best data we can have. We can potentially treat them with systemic options, but in most cases, I would refrain from systemic treatment and keep them on the local regional therapies.
So we're going to talk about checkpoint inhibitors, of course, but I have to ask this since it was written down and right next to the transplant, which is transplant patients, checkpoint inhibitors, Tim.
Yes.
What do we know about rejection with checkpoint inhibitors?
So we do know that you can induce rejections. That's been known for other organs. I would be very, very careful in the transplant setting right now to use a checkpoint inhibitor. That really requires prospective studies to do this.
But there have been like cases reported.
Yes, I know this, and you know we all know about those cases, and you can argue about the timing of the checkpoint inhibitor, and you know if you can predict when the organ will actually come. So if the interval is more than 6 months, you know that you may actually be able to treat this. But these are very specific cases, and I think they really need to be especially discussed with the transplant surgeons.
So I want to actually hear about your case of your 57-year-old man as we start to get into this issue of checkpoint inhibitors, Tim.
Sure. So this was actually a 37-year young Chinese patient with metastatic HCC to the omentum. He initially presented in 2014 with abdominal pain, and then the diagnostic follow-up revealed a liver mass, and he underwent a resection of a 7.5 times 6 times 4 centimeter HCC, which was poorly differentiated. He didn't receive any adjuvant treatment, and then there was a scan and later in that year that revealed actually a small lesion in the abdominal wall, small amount of fluid in the pelvis. He had a short period of sorafenib treatment with that he didn't tolerate very well.
This is a met to the abdominal wall?
This is a met in the abdominal wall, which is probably the result of the surgery, yes.
Wow, interesting.
We do see this. We see even, you know, I've seen patients even after biopsies, you can get this after radiofrequency ablations if they're not done properly. These patients can actually develop metastasis to the abdominal wall, yes. So anyhow, so this patient then had a couple of hypermetabolic soft lesions. He was very young. So the idea was actually to perform surgery in this particular case, which was attempted and positive, but then he recurred with small lesions in the abdominal cavity, came to us and was put on a study with a checkpoint inhibitor and was started on the checkpoint inhibitor and actually showed a very nice response, the tumor shrank, which actually then led to a surgical resection of two lesions, which showed a pathological complete response in 2017, and the patient remains tumor-free since then.
Which checkpoint inhibitor did he receive?
In this case, the patient received durvalumab.
Interesting.